Let's open with hymn number 19.
Glory to God who reigns above all.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And Thou forgavest the iniquity.
Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto Thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended Thee, and justly deserve Thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray Thee of Thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength wherewith he hath girded himself. With you.
And with thy spirit.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, who didst suffer thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, to become a stranger and a sojourner in Egypt for our sakes, and didst lead him safely home to his fatherland. Mercifully grant that we poor sinners, who are strangers and sojourners in this perilous world, may soon be called home to our true fatherland, the kingdom of heaven, where we shall live in eternal joy and glory. Through the merits of thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, at one true God, world without end.
Amen.
The Old Testament lesson for this second Sunday after Christmas is found in the second chapter of 1 Samuel, the 1st through the 10th verse. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you. Nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled and are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap, to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 4th chapter of 1 Peter, the 12th through the 19th verse. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good, as to a faithful Creator. Here ends the epistle lesson. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer. Thy name is from everlasting. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever. Hallelujah. The Holy Gospel for this day is found in the 2nd chapter of Matthew, the 13th through the 23rd verse. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Here ends the gospel. We now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his fathers before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 108. grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is found in the second chapter of Matthew, the 13th through the 23rd verse. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the regions of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in every age the devil persecutes thy Son, Jesus Christ. Therefore let us be counted worthy to be part of Christ our Lord, and to stand before thee on the last day. Amen. Dear redeemed of the Lord, Jesus declared, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. In his own words, Jesus teaches us how we should understand the past, the present, and the future. This entire world exists through him and for him, and he is in all things. The pagan world has attempted to claim the name of Christ for themselves and find him in all things, but their Jesus is not the Son of God from eternity, who gave his life for the sins of the world, but a counterfeit who redeems no one, a force, not a person, not a personal God, and no Savior. No, to find Christ in all things means that all which has taken place in the past happened for the sake of Jesus and those he loves. All that happens in this our day happens because God has ordained it, that his Son might be glorified. And all that will happen in the future of this world has been ordained in such a way that Christ Jesus shall be all in all, and that all evil, contrary to his will be cast into outer darkness. But the children of God, by faith, will dwell with him forever, for he has redeemed them. By the grace of God, we who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He is in us, and we are in him. And even as we are with him in his life and glory, we are also with him in his humility, suffering, and death. The persecution which our dear Lord must bear was revealed when he was still of tender age, when Herod, out of envy, sought to kill him. He, the Lord of all, had to flee to Egypt for safety. This is how weak our Lord became. Rather than standing and overcoming the soldiers of Herod with his mighty power, he flees for his life. In the next 30 or so years, this pattern would not change. He was persecuted and finally put to death. Yet the death of Jesus was the culmination of a persecution that began not at his birth, but thousands of years prior. As it is today, so it was then. Satan persecutes Christ where he can find him. if not in his own flesh, then in the flesh of those who believe on him. And therefore it is always so that the children of Satan persecute the children of God, because the children of God in every age are always in Christ. The world and Satan hates the elect of God, therefore, because they hate Christ. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. If he was persecuted in his life, then all who live in him and by him will also be persecuted. And that is true from the days of Adam until today. The purpose of this persecution is nothing less than to snuff out the life of the Son of God from this earth, wherever that life can be found, whether in the flesh of the incarnate Christ child, or in the faithful remnant of Israel, or in the church today. Jesus told his disciples, "A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." In the prophecies of Paul in 1 Thessalonians and of John in the Apocalypse, we know that this persecution of the church continues until the end of the world. We know that the very first Christians were already threatened by the Jews and later by the Romans. Jesus himself was persecuted at his passion, and before this, shortly after his birth. And we can go back further. And we can see that the people of Israel, held captive and persecuted from generation for generation after generation, for many of them, though they had turned away from the Lord, yet through them, through this people, God was bringing Christ into the world. And there was always among them that faithful remnant that was always in Christ. And therefore in Babylon and in Assyria, and before that in Egypt, the persecution of Israel was indeed the persecution of Christ. We can go all the way back to Adam and Eve and see Satan persecuting Christ by bringing sin and death to Adam and Eve. Wherever God gave the promise of Christ, there Satan struck. So therefore, just as there is only one Jesus Christ and only one Satan, there is only one persecution for all time. And God's people in every age, whether in Egypt, in Babylon, or Rome, Jerusalem, or today in Africa, China, Korea, or wherever the blood of Christians is being shed, are all enduring one same persecution, even as they all worship the same Jesus. How often our Lord has protected us from persecution and sheltered us from trouble. But he does not always do so, because we see Christians die every day for believing in Jesus. The innocent children in the district of Bethlehem were children of the covenant, male infants and toddlers who by circumcision were chosen by God and granted everlasting life. These little believers in the promise of Christ found themselves the target of King Herod for no other reason than that they were like Jesus in the same lowly form. Herod struck them because he was striking out against Christ, and thus the blood of these innocents was shed, and they became the first martyrs who died for the sake of the Lord made flesh. But Herod failed. He did not destroy Christ, for God preserved him even in his weakness. So it is that in our lives, if the time ever comes when the sheltering hand of God is removed from the churches of our land, and Christians once more are put to the sword, that for all the devil's fury, he will not succeed in taking the life of Christ from this world. And even where he succeeds in persecuting the faithful, he will utterly fail to overcome them. The holy innocents in their death were carried by angels into the bosom of the Father in heaven. So too shall all who die for the sake of the gospel be blessed. And in the end, though devils may rage terribly, the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ will still be standing here upon the earth at the last day, because Jesus has promised that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And so therefore, despite Herod's satanic plot to murder the Son of God, the scriptures were fulfilled. and God called his son back out of Egypt. When we remember that Christ is central to the history of Israel, we can now understand this remarkable word in our gospel lesson, that when Mary and Joseph fled to Egypt with the child Jesus, this was the true fulfillment of the words of Hosea 11, verse 1, "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son." It may seem strange at first that Matthew would say this, because the words of Hosea seem only to apply to the nation of Israel, whom God rescued from Egypt. For the verse begins even by calling him Israel. Matthew says, however, that this is a prophecy of Christ, even though the words seem to be looking backward and not forward. The latter verses even speak of the nation of Israel recounting her sins and how she was held captive later by the Assyrians. Indeed, Hosea puts the thought together this way: "When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son, and the more I called, the more they turned away." But note those words carefully. "I called my son. The more I called, the more they turned away." God called his son out of Egypt already in the days of Israel. For even when Israel was in bondage in Egypt, Christ was with them. For out of the tribe of Judah, Christ would be born. God called even then to his son, and yet at that call, Israel turned away. They resisted the Lord. And in resisting the call, they showed that their rescue from Egypt was not the fulfillment of these words. Nevertheless, their rebellion still points to Jesus by contrast, because Israel rebelled, but God's Son would not rebel. For Jesus is Israel in perfection. He is the chief son, that promised one, who is the culmination of all of Israel's hopes and dreams. Everything they were as a nation was for the sake of him. And God loved them, not purely for their own sakes, but for the sake of his son. And therefore, even though Israel turned away, God showed his mercy for his holy name's sake. In the face of their rebellion, he delivered Israel out of Egypt, and he brought them into their own land. And in doing so, he prepared the way for his son. For it was not in Egypt, but in Jerusalem, that God would establish the throne of David. And therefore we learn much of the grace of God. For the sake of Christ, he was gracious to Israel while they were yet in their sins. This is the manner of our Lord God. He deals with us according to his mercy, and not according to our manifold transgressions. And he shows kindness and compassion when we least deserve it. And he does this all for the sake of his son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, in all that happened to Israel, we are drawn not backward into history, but forward to Jesus. And so now we come to the one in whom all the Old Testament is fulfilled. He flees to Egypt, and the days are fulfilled that while he is yet a child, God calls his son out of Egypt, and he obeys the Father. And therefore the prophecy of Hosea is fulfilled. And yet one more truth this teaches us of the salvation of our God. Often when the children of God are persecuted, the help which he has promised to send does not come in the time or the way we hope. And often it seems God has failed us. We look for the rescue of God to come in a different form and expect God to act through glorious means and miracles, but instead, he comes to us like he did in Christ, through humble things. He comes to us as one who is poor. He comes and does a great and mighty work right under our noses when we do not even know it. The greatest works which God ever did, he did through his lowly and persecuted son. As long as Satan still has the ability to strike against the life of Christ, our hope and our salvation will be in nothing less than the Christ who was lowly and persecuted. For when Satan seemed to prevail, God's Son was in exile, or in life homeless, in hiding in Galilee, arrested in Jerusalem, tortured and put to death. And yet it is there that the glory of God was revealed, and death and hell were conquered. It was this Jesus Christ who redeemed the holy innocents who suffered on his behalf. It is the same Jesus Christ whose blood redeems us in our troubles. Praise God that he used a humble and persecuted Jesus to redeem us. For that was the devil's trap and undoing, and our salvation. As Luther says, the hook, which is the divinity of Christ, was concealed under the earthworm. The devil swallowed it with his jaws when Christ died and was buried. But it ripped his belly so that he could not retain it, but had to disgorge it. He ate death for himself. This affords us the greatest solace. For just as the devil could not hold Christ in death, so he cannot hold us who believe in Christ. Therefore, let this comfort remain in you in every time of trouble, that in the day of salvation you might rejoice with everlasting joy. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. O God, the Father everlasting, who didst manifest thyself in the flesh in the person of thy Son, Jesus, whom thou didst send to a wicked and perverse world, we give thanks to thee for the great love wherewith thou hast loved us, and for the redemption thou hast worked for us in thy holy child, Jesus. As thine unworthy servants, we acknowledge our transgressions, and we perceive the great wickedness of the world, whose evil is so deep as to take the lives of those children whom we remember before thee this day. Help us to see how great is the evil of this world, and to seek after righteousness and after all those things which pertain to our salvation. Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wouldst defend and save thy people everywhere. Most especially do we pray this day for all who are persecuted for thy name and for thy truth's sake. Bring to naught every evil counsel and purpose which would hinder the hallowing of thy name and prevent the coming of thy kingdom. By thine almighty wisdom and power, overthrow all who hate thy word and hurt thy people. Break down all who would exalt themselves above thy glory, and who are wise in their own conceit. Let no flesh glory in thy presence. Cast down vain imaginings of human power and grandeur, and pull down the strongholds of that false wisdom which denies honor to thee. Then, Father of all mercy, grant strength and faith, wisdom and courage, grace and every blessing to all those who are oppressed for Christ's sake. Reveal unto them the deep things of the Spirit to support and sustain them. Give them a full measure of the fullness of Christ. Show them that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men, and the weakness of God is stronger than the strength of men. Give them the victory which overcomes the world, and the faith that transcends all adversity. Hear our prayer for all children, and grant that in Christ their holy angels may keep them from all harm. Protect them from neglect and from overindulgence, from false teachers who would destroy their faith, and bring them all in thine own time into thine everlasting kingdom. All these things we beseech thee in the name of him, even thy Son Jesus, who in his nativity sanctified all childhood. Amen. We sing hymn 265. Unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Source of all goodness, who in loving kindness did send thine only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 437. Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Go Bible class today in case I have to battle through drifting snow on the way up, which is a distinct possibility. Oh, so cute.